This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Enterprise Protection Act. Thanks KBOO listeners and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate today. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 25th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Senator Jeff Merkley's attempt to reinstate the stand-up filibuster went down in flames. They threw a few crumbs Merkley's way, but he did not manage to reinstate a real filibuster. And we have Stephen Souness today with us. Souness says that John Kerry's attacks on the International Court of Justice, his defense of Israeli occupation and human rights violations, support for the U.S. invasion of Iraq, all raise serious questions about this particular confirmation. And it's been 2 years since the revolution in Egypt took down Mohamed Morsi. Today in Tahrir Square, the protests are once again rocking the city. First, though, the weather. Today, showers likely, highs around 45, light wind, except east wind in the gorge is expected to be 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain off and on throughout the evening, lows 35 to 40 for tomorrow. Rain in the morning, tapering to showers later on in the afternoon with a high 40 to 45. For Saturday night, generally a wet evening, lows 35 to 40. And for Sunday, showers most of the day, highs around 40. Sunday night, rain, lows around 35, which brings us full circle to Monday morning. Our alternative weather forecast, it's a full flower moon in Gemini and a synodic outlook. The synodic farmers say it's a good time to sow root vegetables, berries, bulbs, pretty much anything. This is the false dawn that we usually get. That's not really spring, but a spring-like substance with what was the warm winds and pummeling rain. The biodynamic forecast with the moon in Gemini. Biodynamicists point out it's an air sign, so flowering plants. Sidereal forecast, moon in Gemini, barren and dry, good time for promoting flower growth. All of those things, whether they actually pertain to what you are doing in the great outdoors or on your roof or on the kitchen drainboard, all of it nonetheless connects us with the real world beyond some of the concerns that we get ourselves tied up in. That said, moving right along into news from around Cascadia. We have our guest ready to join us. Stephen Souness will be we're going to be examining the John Kerry nomination, which is it's a very troubling development. We could pretty much see it coming a mile away after the John Brennan adventure. These are possibly trading cards in order to manage the Chuck Hagel confirmation. Nonetheless, it's a high price to pay. We're very happy, though, to have Stephen Zunis with us. He's a professor of politics. He's a chair of Middle Eastern Studies, the University of San Francisco. And he recently wrote a piece, which I commend your attention to, The Case Against Kerry. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
Well, this was a very interesting article. You point out, so you've actually taken main reasons for one to be concerned about the Kerry nomination. It's a very, very powerful position. And his track record isn't good. You want to go over a few of John Kerry's more troubling positions on some very sensitive areas.
Well, despite early in his Senate career being one of the more progressive senators in foreign policy, challenging Reagan on the arms race, Central America, and other issues, more recent years he has swung well to the right. He was a major proponent of the U.S. invasion of made a whole series of demonstrably false statements about Iraq having chemical weapons and biological weapons, even more powerful than they'd ever had before, claiming they had a nuclear program, and everybody agreed they did, claimed they had these sophisticated delivery systems that threatened their neighbors and even the United States. Absolutely none of this was true. I mean, absolutely none of it. And when it was found out that, as many of us had argued at the time, Iraq really didn't have any of these weapons or weapon systems, he said he would have supported the invasion anyway because they might have had the potential to develop those someday, and Saddam Hussein was a nasty dictator. Of course, given that there are at least 20 or 30 countries with nasty dictators that have the capability of developing unconventional weapons, he was essentially saying the U.S. has the right to invade any of them. furthermore, he's been one of the big hawks on Israel and Palestine, supporting the far right-wing government. He even attacked the International Court of Justice for saying that Israel, like all countries, had to abide by the Fourth Geneva Convention and in the occupied territories. But Kerry's position said that the World Court has no jurisdiction. He said that basically that questions of international humanitarian law in territories under foreign belligerent occupation should be under the exclusive realm of the domestic courts of the occupying power, not the world court, essentially recognizing the right of conquest.
Exactly.
And so these and other issues, very troubling. Very troubling. It's an extension of the Bush.
Why, though? Is this sheer expediency? I mean, it seems that is this... is this a result of frustration and a failed presidential effort? It's hard to understand why.
Most of these he took before he ran for president, and maybe he thought that taking these hawkish positions would actually enhance his electability. But ironically, it did just the opposite. If he had voted against the Iraq war and challenged these false claims of the supposed Iraqi threat, by 2004 when he was running, he would have been seen as quite prescient and far more responsible than Bush. And a lot of progressives like me would have supported him, whereas we refused to support him because his foreign policy was so much like Bush. And similarly, instead of Iraq, where it was a good idea or not, being debated during the fall 2004 campaign, and again had Kerry voted no, this would have definitely been in his favor by that point, because Americans had very much turned against the war by then. Instead, the issue became his supposed flip-flopping. So if he did do these things for political expediency, it sure didn't work. He did just the opposite.
For smart guys, made some very stupid moves. His supporters insist, though, that he... has not really rejected international law. Stephen, we've got Mazen Kimsinger waiting on the line, so I want to thank you very much for that. I do want to commend listeners' attention to this article. It's important to read it, because John Kerry would seem to be, to many people, if you don't think carefully, you don't remember, we Americans have a traditionally short memory on these types of things. But Kerry's positions on Iraq and his positions on Israel and his position, of course, on the International Criminal Court. It's troubling, to say the least. Thank you so much for that. We'll put a link to that article on the KBOO website, and thanks again for that. We're going to speak now with Mazen Kamsia at the International Middle East Media Center in occupied Palestine. We're very happy to welcome you back to the KBOO airways. Good morning, Mazen.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, what about that? Was it was an interesting election? Netanyahu is going to have to do some fancy ballot thing acts here if he's going to continue down his disastrous right wing path. On the other hand, Naftali Bennett did not make. He did not seem to. The results were not as far in his favor as many expected. They expected an extreme right swing. The party, though, did emerge. Do you want to talk briefly about the results of the election? And I mean, I think we really dodged a bullet with Naftali Bennett not gaining the power that it looked like he had locked up.
Well, I mean, it's very hard for me as a Palestinian to sit here and make comments about this charade that's called the Israeli elections.
Yeah.
I think it was basically known outcome, and everybody knew that Netanyahu was going to be asked to form the next government as a coalition government. Actually, since its founding, State of Israel has never had really a majority government of one party. You know, the parties in Israel, the way the system works, there are many, many parties, but they're all Zionist parties. They're all parties that have to do with the same idea that formed the Zionist project, which is the idea of a Jewish state. And actually, there's a Knesset law that says any party that runs and rejects the idea of a Jewish state would not be allowed to run for the election. So having a party that calls for democracy or for a secular democratic state is not a party. Is not a party that would be allowed to run for the elections. So I think you know all the Jewish Israeli parties are Zionist, and the question is the degree of their Zionism and the degree of their discrimination against Palestinians. So our choices have always been between the right, the medium right and the ultra right, so to speak,
yeah.
And not really between left and right, as the Western media seems to have in their mind that there's a left and right parties in Israel. There's no such thing.
Sort of like the U.S., actually, come to think of it. I want to ask you about the settler movement. This is is by far the most dangerous and troubling aspect, because there's absolutely no way of reaching these people, it seems. From everything that I've read, I do not have direct experience, of course, but the settlers...
Well,
it seems nothing
yeah.
gets through, and their position is so manifestly unreasonable and violent. Is there? Do you see any solution at all?
Well, I mean, today we had a demonstration in front of two settlements here in the so-called Gush Etzion complex of settlements. That's sitting on the land of Bethlehem, the richest land of Bethlehem. And we in Bethlehem, as Palestinians, are squeezed to use only 13% of the district land of Bethlehem. We live in a ghetto, basically. And the best lands of Bethlehem have been taken over for the benefit of the settlements. So we were at this gate of the settlements trying to demonstrate. There was not many of us, maybe 20, 25 people. And some settlers started cursing at us and yelling at us and things like that. And one of them started chopping people around and hitting the people with the cameras, etc. And in one way, I can see what you're saying is how do you reason with such people who have been conditioned all their lives to think that they are God's chosen people and that this land belongs to them. And that coming from America or Poland as a Jew entitles you to displace the native people just because your religion is Jewish and their religion happens to be Christian or Muslim. So it's hard to reason with this. But on the other hand, I think, you know, one thinks of other situations like this and where people eventually shed their racism or at least moderate their racism or at least contain their racism. I mean, there's a situation, for example, of South Africa under apartheid. Now, the whites who were racist to blacks in South Africa, some of them had to shed their racism. Some of them, you know, just had to hide it. And some of them, we just had to contain it and implement a one-person, one-vote system. I think the same thing is going to happen here eventually. It's not a matter of convincing a majority of settlers that they are sitting on our own land. It's a matter of international law and human rights and basic resistance to the system.
Mazen, thank you so much for that. We are really pleased to have you with us today. Thanks again so much, and best of luck. The International Middle East Media Center is the go-to source for what's really happening on the ground in occupied Palestine, and you can find it online. We'll put a link to that on the website if we can. This has been Echo Scadia for Friday, January 25th, 2013. Todd Wilson engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, the Pentagon lifts the ban on women serving in ground combat positions, including the